Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 239, recorded December 15th, 2011, outside my wheelhouse. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Ford, featuring available voice-activated sync with Sync Services, which enable you to customize your driving experience with personalized news, traffic, and directions. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. And by Ice.com. Give your special lady a beautiful piece of jewelry for Christmas this year with a TWiT exclusive offer from Ice.com. 30% off your entire purchase, plus free guaranteed delivery by Christmas. Get your big discount on fine jewelry now through December 21st at Ice.com/windows. And by Newegg and the Newegg Gadget Trade-In Site powered by Gazelle. Trade in your used gadgets today at Newegg.com/trade and receive a Newegg gift card. That's Newegg.com/trade. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that weekly covers Windows. Not weekly with an A, weekly with Paul Thurrott.
A little bit of both.
Well, it could be a little bit of both. Paul Thurrott is here, the editor-in-chief of the super site for Windows, winsupersite.com. He's also a news editor for Windows IT Pro and the author of Windows Phone Secrets. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
Hello, Leo.
Hello, Paul. Also here, Mary Jo Foley, a Microsoft journalist for ZDNet. Her blog posts are available at allaboutmicrosoft.com and multiple times a day. Hello, Mary Jo.
Hello.
Thanks to, did Iaz fill in last week? Thank you, Iaz. Appreciate it. He's right there. He actually sits outside my office with his nose pressed against the glass saying, let me do it again, please. And guess what, Iaz? You get to next week. Yes, he's thumbsing upping. I won't be here next week again. This time it's vacation, but I will be here. And this is something people might want to pay attention to. 2 weeks hence, the 29th of December, many of our shows will be doing kind of best ofs, but we couldn't find anything from this show.
We have no highlights. So we'll be recording a special additional episode.
No, actually, I was really thrilled. You guys suggested, and I think this is a great idea, that we do a look back at the year live. So you guys are collating the stories that, right? Pulling them all together, the big stories of the year. And one of them, I got to say, has to be, obviously, is going to be Windows Phone 7, 7.5 Mango. And I just wanted to let you know that I don't know how. We have a product department now here at the TWiT Brick House. This is something I always wanted to do. We had it at Tech TV, where a person actually, you know, gets products in for review, manages that process, gets them back to the manufacturer. Nicole Lee,
the worst part of what I do.
Oh, it's horrible. And that's why.
So whoever that person is, I'm sure their life is horrible.
Well, you know what? She's great. Nicole Lee, you probably know her. She did reviews for cell phones for CNET for years. We stole her.
She's suicidal. Or?
No, you know, some people enjoy this.
I see.
And she's good. She called Nokia and got a Lumia 800, which I probably never would have done. So I've been playing with that a little bit. And, I had seen a few in Paris at Le Web. Of course, it's not this is not a U.S. phone. This is only available in Europe right now, and we're going to get a version of it right at some point next year. It won't be this.
It's nice, though, isn't it? It's a nice phone.
You know what? It's nicely made. It's solid.
It's got this awesome kind of hand feel to it, if you will.
Yeah, Nokia is good at that. They, you know, when you compare it to, say, the Samsung phones, this is the Nexus, the Galaxy Nexus. It's it's much lighter. And it feels a little plasticky, and this I don't know if it's metal or plastic, but
it's plastic, but
it feels like metal.
It's plastic like a bulletproof vest is plastic.
Yeah,
you know? It's got a neat kind of feel to it, and that wraparound glass effect, they got the curved thing
on
the top. And
love that.
It's nice.
It's one of the best screens I've ever seen, the beautiful blacks on
this. I think if the camera on that thing had been superior as we had hoped, I might have gone out of my way to get an unlocked one just to have it. You know?
Well, but it may be superior in the U.S. version, right? Because it's a much more competitive environment.
Yep.
It's a good camera. It's not a bad camera, I got to say.
No, it's not bad. It's better than the first gen phones, but it's just not up there with the HTC Titan or the right. Samsung Focus S or, you know, of course, the iPhone 4S, right. which is probably the benchmark these days.
Yeah. But the color rendition looks very good. It's 5 megapixels, right?
I think it's 8.
Is it 8? Because it doesn't look like there's a lot of detail as I zoom in.
A little grainy.
But, frankly, nowadays on a camera phone, the thing I look at most is color rendition because so many of them are kind of green or weird, and the colors are great.
At least you can fix the color.
You can.
Right?
That's true.
The problem is if the quality's not there to begin with,
right?
You can't really do anything with it.
Right.
And it's not horrible, like you said.
Well, we're not. Yeah, we're not slamming it. It's okay. It's just that there are better phones now, better cameras and phones. Yeah. This is a nice. I just feel like it's fluid. The design is good. The hand feel is superior. This is going to be a compelling product. Now, what do we know? What they're going to call it in the U.S. or who's going to have it? Or
no, it's just maybe a 900, maybe an 810.
Right.
You know, we don't know.
And it will have
CS will be the
right.
And the time.
It will have a front-facing camera. It will have. I bet you, it'll have maybe a bigger screen because that's become a standard in the U.S. more. Maybe not.
Well, or they'll have a phone that has a bigger screen.
Right.
I think you know the United States is the SUV market for phones. You know, we want big phones.
I did see a lot of ads for Titans in France, oddly
enough. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The French like to be like Americans.
These were HTC ads, and that's one thing that's different in the rest of the world. Most of the phone ads in the U.S. are by the carriers, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of carrier exclusives, much less so outside of the U.S., where a phone like this is available on multiple carriers. The iPhone's available on multiple carriers or even unlocked in most cases. And so the manufacturer advertises it, not the carrier. And HTC had an ad. They had it was actually a nice ad. They had the Titan, and then they had a hand with drawings of all the things people do on it. It was something like put the power in your hands or something. It was good. I think that's what it said. It was in French. It could have said, I fart in your general direction. We don't know. It's a mystery. So let's talk, you and I, Mary Jo, Paul, me,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because Microsoft's doing something very strange.
No, not strange at all.
Okay, well then, good. Reassure me. I just got on my iPhone Connectimals.
Yeah, I know.
I have Xbox Live, and they just put out a SkyDrive, all iOS apps. And now there's Hotmail on Android.
I know.
Explain this to me.
You know, my world is falling apart.
You know the thing that really must drive people crazy? I used Photosynth a bunch on the iPhone in France, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's really nice.
And it's not on a Windows phone. I don't understand that.
That I do not understand, yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to just drive people crazy.
I've been making this argument for a long time that they should be doing this.
Yeah.
And it's taken them a long time, but finally it looks like they are. It's interesting because once it happens, you hear from the other side of the fence, which is people who are sort of moaning that the Windows Phone exclusive stuff is over. And, you know, what is the point of Windows Phone if we can't rely on the fact that all this Microsoft stuff will only be available on that platform? But this is, you know, Microsoft is not about Windows Phone. And not that you would have to make such a Solomon-type decision, but if someone went to you and they said, look, you can promote Office or you can promote Windows Phone, not both.
Which one do you promote? Yeah.
You know, you pick Office over
where's
Windows
the,
Phone.
Where's the money? Yeah.
And I'd also, just for the sake of argument, would say, as far as Windows Phone having key differentiators as compared to other smartphone platforms, I really do believe that the user experience and that user interface, which are very unique to Windows Phone, and the hubs and all the integrated experiences, and truly less of a need to have all these individual apps, is in fact the key differentiator on that platform and something that doesn't change by Microsoft releasing these apps for other platforms. So yeah. I think what they're doing is the right thing. I think they need to do more.
Go ahead, Mary Jo.
I was going to say, you keep seeing this argument come up in our comments over and over, people saying, well, that's it. That's why I was going to buy a Windows phone, because it had things
that were
unique to it. Right, because of Connectimals, right. Or because of SkyDrive, you know. But I agree with Paul. I think they're doing the right thing, both for the customers and for Microsoft, too. I mean, they're making the right choice And there are a lot of people who are Microsoft loyalists who say, no, you know, the other big one that came out this week was OneNote for the iPad, not just for the iPhone. That was another interesting one that got people on my site all up in arms because they were saying, wait, I want Office to only be a Microsoft Windows thing. I don't want to see OneNote on the iPad, especially not before I see it on a Windows 8 tablet.
Well, that would be the argument that I would kind of understand. Yeah. I mean, of course, Microsoft, if they're making apps, will make them for all of the... They're a software company. They did that, you know, that's what they do. But what's weird is when they don't put it on their own platform. That's weird. It's as if they said, well, we're going to... Although, actually, isn't that the case that Excel was originally a Mac app?
Well, yes, that's true.
So but it's not unheard of.
No, right. But we don't have to go back that far in time to find an example of something like this. I mean, you know, there are advantages to Microsoft doing things like integrating Bing into Windows Phone. But then there are some disadvantages, too, as in they can update Bing for other mobile platforms at a much faster clip than they do on Windows Phone because it's part of the OS.
Right.
They made that change in Windows Phone 7.5, by the way, where Bing is no longer as centrally, you know, connected to the whole OS. I think because they want to be able to update it. But you know, even before 7.5 came out, there were a couple of releases of Bing on iOS, I guess just on iOS, that, you know, had features that weren't available on Windows Phone. So you do get into that kind of a weird situation. People forget, you know, Microsoft's a big company. They're not all lined up like little rows, and they can't always guarantee functional parity across the various things. But, well, you know, you talked about Microsoft as a software company, and that's true, but I would cut it down a little further and say Microsoft is a platforms company, and they have some key platforms, Office and Xbox Live, that need to be out in the world. And this is one of those ways to get that stuff out there. You know, Office 365 is obviously a big deal. The Windows Live stuff, like SkyDrive, is a big deal. It for that stuff to be popular and to be truly pervasive, it can't just be on Windows or Windows Phone, right? It has to be.
Although, I got
to
say, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall at Microsoft when this discussion was happening, you know, like, because there are factions inside Microsoft, too, who don't want this to happen, right?
Sure.
So it's not just users who are going, oh, it's a good thing, a bad thing. I mean, and inside Microsoft, I'm sure there was a meeting where there were people from Windows sitting there and people from Xbox and Windows Phone and Office and saying, okay, if we do it, is this going to make us more money or is this, you know, what's the thing that we're going to reap the most money from by doing this?
Yeah, but I'd hate to be the guy who has to go to the board meeting and say, hey, here's some great news. We've got OneNote. we're putting out, you know, five hot new apps on iPhone only. And then wait.
Well, but except that OneNote is available on Windows Phone.
Well, actually, OneNote's a bad example.
It's already in there.
Because it's already there. You know, I think that's the easy one. If you put it out simultaneously, that's not a problem. Yeah. It's the ones where you go iPhone first. Well, but as you say, they're a software company. There's many divisions. They, you know, the iOS developers are working in their own little office area, and they did it. So, you know, why are you going to hold on to it?
The office guys should be able to go to Windows and say, screw you guys, we make more money. We're doing whatever we want.
I hate to hear that.
I don't understand why this would even be a conversation.
Right.
You know, the Windows guys don't run Microsoft. Windows is part of Microsoft
they do.
Office.
The Windows guys do. The Windows Phone guys do not. That's the point.
Right. Windows guys, I would say.
Even as I said that, it sounded.
Yeah, the Windows guy. But the window. What you're saying, and I think it's true, is that the Windows Phone division is so small that they can't say, "Hey, what over here? No, what about small. Us?"
But it's still number two to Office. It just is. I mean, that's a fact.
Yeah.
So you know, I had written an editorial. They changed the headline for me. I think. Thank goodness for Penton, because you know you have to have like an SEO compatible headline.
But
my original headline said something like, "How about Office everywhere?" You know, a take on the Windows everywhere approach that Microsoft has. I mean, if Office is such a big deal, and it is, and it makes so much money, and it does, I mean, why isn't Microsoft's strategy Office everywhere? You know, you hear Windows everywhere all the time, but Office needs to be on everything. You know,
but
that's
isn't
how
that what
keep people using it?
Isn't that kind of what's happening, though, that they're saying we want to put our apps everywhere? Apps are as important as OS ultimately going forward, aren't they? Isn't OS platform, but in the long run, if you support only one platform, that's not as good as if you support everything. So It seems to me that it's as much as Mike. You're right, Mary Jo. The Windows is very, very important.
It's a little, you know, the competitive landscape is different than it used to be.
Exactly.
In the beginning, when Microsoft made Mac Office, they did it probably for a variety of reasons. I think there was a history there, like you said, with Excel, and they had done some early work on the Mac. And Steve Jobs came back to the company. Okay, but I mean, I'm talking, this is something they've had over 25 years now.
Right.
So, you know, why do you keep making Office for the Mac? I mean,
because it's the number one selling Mac app, or at least it was for many years.
Right, but you could, but it competes. The Mac competes with Windows, and if you want to hurt the Mac, take away Office. I mean, you could make a really good argument there.
Yeah, I guess you could.
During the antitrust days, I would argue the only reason they made it was simply to keep a number two competitor in the market artificially.
That was the speculation about why Bill Gates gave $150 million to the dying Apple.
Right, but now things are different. Right. So the Mac is obviously very popular. I'm sure the Mac Office business is decent and so forth. But now you have to look at the way the world's changing. And we have these mobile platforms like Android and iOS. And the argument has to be around, you know, do we bring Office to those platforms? And we've talked about this. My argument is, yeah, you do. You have to.
Sure. It's the future. It's the future.
People use these things in tandem, you know.
Right. Mary Jo?
And in businesses, you know, people, if they bring iPhones to work. Right, and you're a shop that's using Office. You're like, okay, we've got to support them. We want to be able to have OneNote on iOS. You know, if they bring iPads in, you want OneNote on that. If you're a company standardizing.
But what if you have a company where people are saying, look, I want to use my iPad, and then the company says, well, you can't use your iPad because we don't have Office for iPad, and then Office for iPad comes out. I mean, all of a sudden, Microsoft has erased a reason not to have a competitor's products in the companies that they are most important to them. So there's kind of a weird, you know, back and forth there. But I think with the way the world is going and the expectations that younger people have, especially cloud computing services and so forth, they really need to get this stuff out there because this is the way you transition to this future. If they ignore it, people won't just stop using Windows potentially. We'll stop using Office.
So you're saying, Microsoft, what you're saying is this is for the children. We're doing it for the children.
We're doing it to the children. I'm not sure. I don't know. But yes.
Yeah. There was one other interesting tidbit from all this iOS hoopla this week too. When they came out with OneNote on the iPad, they added a new caveat. They said, after you have 500 OneNote messages, then you're going to have to upgrade to a paid version of OneNote for the iPad.
Oh, that's interesting. Right.
So now we know roughly, I think it gives us a clue about what kind of pricing we might see when you start seeing more Office apps on the iPad. And the pricing was $14.99 for the paid version.
Ah.
So that's kind of interesting.
That's five bucks more than Apple charges for its app. You know, Office apps, but not a lot. $15, big deal. Well within the price range, especially if somebody's using it on the desktop in business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
$15 is it? Does Microsoft have some sort of volume buying plan for apps?
Mm-hmm. No, they don't.
I think if you're like a volume license customer, you get.
Would there be a way to
like mobile apps?
Mobile apps. I don't think Apple has any structure for that, do they?
Yeah, it's a slightly different thing. So that's a good question. I don't know. We can only speculate now. We don't know that Microsoft is or is not making, you know, Word, Excel, PowerPoint for iOS, right? So,
but we'd heard assuming that. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Well, we don't know, right? Assuming such a thing occurs, could those apps ever be covered under Microsoft's volume licensing plans in ways that make sense? I don't know.
I think they should. Don't you?
Well,
I think it should be like a combo.
I think you should. Assuming you can do it, right? In other words, certainly Microsoft could probably build something into the software that would unlock certain features if the presence of some kind of a license was detected, and they could do things like that.
Although Apple's funny because that might be perceived as an in-app purchase, and Apple gets 30%. And it's just, you know.
Apple getting 30% of Microsoft's volume licensing.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's going to happen. It's a hellacious thing to even contemplate.
Nice try.
I think this $14.99 thing, though, is an in-app purchase. I'm pretty sure it is.
It looks like it is. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out at what point I would hit such a thing. I've been using Evernote a lot lately. And I'm gauging my usage of it because they have a nice little usage dialogue you can look at. So applying that to OneNote, I mean, how long would it be, or how much would I have to use this product before I would actually run into their notes limitation? You'd have to be a pretty serious note taker, you know, to actually hit that limit. I don't know if you looked at it, but I think, was it 500 notes or something? That's a lot of notes. I mean, you know, in the past week, I've been using this thing to write blog posts and everything, and I think I have 58 total notes in here. But I mean, this is what I do for a living. I write, so I don't know who would. You'd have to really use the thing to hit that limit, I would say. Yeah. So good for them. You know, in other words, it's free for most people, I guess is the way to say it.
Apparently, Apple does have a volume pricing plan, according to Ben M in our chat room. But that's Apple.
This is uncharted territory. I mean, I'm going to be very curious to see how that works if and when it happens. And who knows? This may be very well the reason this hasn't happened yet. They are probably very uncomfortable putting their stuff through Apple's.
Because Apple takes 30%. So this is for the desktop app store, or no, maybe not. It says app store.
No, it looks like iOS.
Yeah, I see an iPad and iPhone. So presumably, this would be any business in the U.S. can. No, this is for buying. But I would imagine Microsoft could use this. Whether they want to is another matter.
I think assuming they're going to sell those apps. I think there would be businesses that would buy them in bulk. Absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't mean to throw a monkey wrench into this discussion. I just...
No, it's interesting. I mean, and previous to this week, in many ways, the whole iOS, Apple, you know, Microsoft app thing was kind of theoretical. I mean, they had a couple of small things. But now, all of a sudden, we're starting to see this little flood of Microsoft apps on iOS. It's really interesting. And every day, I mean, not just every day, but... during the day, there will be changes. I had written the note, the headline in here, it says plus one for Android. And then within minutes, there was another one for Android. You know, so the question just a day ago was, how come they're releasing all this stuff on iOS, but they're not releasing anything on Android?
And then they did.
Now they are.
You know? But only one thing.
Two. Yeah, there's going to be a Link client, which I think just came out.
Link is what? That's their video chat?
Well, no, it's not video, but it's is it video on the phone? I don't know.
It's a voice over IP, right? VoIP and
presence.
It's their Skype killer. Oh, wait a minute, they own Skype. Never mind.
No, this is a corporate presence and a communications tool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's Windows Live Messenger for businesses. I guess would be the way to
that
say.
That was the question when they bought Skype. Is what happens to Link?
Right. Yeah, they're playing it as a compliment. They're saying, you know, inside the firewall, if you're a company, you use Link. Outside, you add Skype.
That makes sense.
Does it really make sense?
It sounds good anyways.
Yeah. But anyway, there's also a Hotmail app for Android.
Yeah, which is odd, to say the least.
It's very odd. But the problem with Android, and you know this from using Android, is They have a Gmail app, and then they have this other mail app that's for, like, everything else.
Right.
Not a mail app like every other mobile client on Earth.
Right.
So...
Well, you can use Gmail in the mail app. But you're right. It's very bizarre. It's like...
It's strange. Yeah.
There's six ways to do it, you know?
Right. There should be a single way to do it. So, you know, they have a Hotmail app. There you go. So.
Yay! Woohoo!
Well, this year...
You know why they have to do that, by the way? Because Hotmail doesn't support IMAP or POP, right?
It does support Exchange ActiveSync, which actually would
you could use Hotmail with the Exchange.
I would think so.
Okay,
it works perfectly well on iOS. In fact, it always did. Well, not always did it always has since they added Exchange ActiveSync support. But in the latest version of iOS, they added Hotmail explicitly as a choice, and it now uses EAS, not the old style way of connecting to Hotmail. So, you know, Hotmail in some ways has become very modernized on mobile devices. And I suppose doing a native app on Android is their, you know, Gmail app equivalent. I think that's why they did it. But I don't like having mail in separate apps like that. I'd rather have it.
Well, you can use, as far as I know, on any platform, you can use a unified mail app. I know certainly Android has a unified mail app that will do all of that. iPhone does.
Right, but the question is, see, I don't know Android well enough, but, you know, on iOS and on Windows Phone, you create an account. And then that account type, depending on what it is, the stuff goes out to contacts, calendar, to mail, to tasks, if that's supported. And certainly that's the way it works on iOS, and it's the way it works on Windows Phone. But on Android, I don't actually know if that's how it works. So if you were to go into the Mail app, not the Gmail app, but the, you know, the Mail application, and configure Hotmail using Exchange Active Sync, would you get contacts and calendar automatically that way, or do you have to do something separate? I don't actually know.
Yeah. Hey, let's take a break. We are talking about Windows with Paul Thurrott. Windows, Microsoft. Actually, we haven't even mentioned Windows. With Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. And we have more to come in just a moment. We will talk, of course, about Windows. You know, I just saw that Microsoft is offering free Windows phones to Android malware sufferers. Which I thought, that's a good campaign. Because, you know, I mean, how many phones are you going to end up giving away? Not that many.
Well, five, as it turns out.
Yeah, but you all get the headlines, right? And the implication is, you know, yes. Microsoft to the rescue. Actually, they just Google just killed, I think, a bunch of apps that had malware in it. So the problem is that most people don't get bit by it because they're smart enough to not to download Roski background wallpaper application. Your love is good. Get it now, free. Really, it's good. Your love is good. We want to talk a little bit about Ford right now. I've been driving a bunch of Fords this week. We got a 2012 Ford Focus, a 2012 Ford Fiesta. I hear there's a 2012 Ford Mustang convertible somewhere in the fleet. But no one will let me drive it. Who's driving the Mustang now? Yeah, nobody will cop to it. I have a What Mustang, Leo? There's no Mustang. Anyway, we've been testing out the 2012 Fords, and they're fantastic. And, of course, the centerpiece, as always, is the Ford Sync and my Ford Touch. It's interesting. Each car has its kind of own flavor, which one of the reasons we wanted to try driving it. You know, there's the basic Sync, which doesn't have the big screen. It talks to you. The whole thing, you have turn by turn, and everything is all through voice, which is really cool. And then they have this Sync Services feature. So you press the, in every case, the idea of Sync in my Ford Touch is your hands on the wheel, your eyes on the road, but you're still doing stuff. That's the jingle, by the way, that I just wrote. And then you want to say, well, I wonder what the traffic's like, for example, on my commute. Now you can go to Ford.com/sync or get the app, and you can set up what your home is, your work is. You could go to Google Maps and set up a route planning, or MapQuest, set up route planning. So the phone, the car already knows a lot about where you're going without you even telling it. But you press the button on the steering wheel or on the steering column. Sometimes it's on the blinker. On the Fiesta, it's on the blinker. And it goes, boom, what would you like? And you say, services. Boom. And you can say, what's the traffic like? And it'll tell you what's the commute going to be like. You could say traffic to San Francisco. I do this a lot because I don't commute there. But when I need to go in, I want to know how bad it's going to be. They will tell you up to the minute traffic. You can also get sports scores, news, stocks. You can even get your horoscope read to you. So this is depending on the Ford Sync you have. It's either available on the display in the dash or read to you. As you drive, they can even send it. They have apps, and they can send it to your mobile device via text messaging or use the app. It is 21st century stuff. It's really cool. I want you to check out Ford. There's a couple of ways to do this. You can go to Ford.com/technology. Let me enter this into the browser here. Ford.com/technology. And they've got a great website with, this is just a fun browse. Videos and explanations of all sorts of stuff. The electric vehicles. They've just started production on the 2012 electric Focus this week, which means I might get mine soon. The hybrids, the EcoBoost engine that gives you great performance with incredible fuel economy and more. Ford.com/technology. But the best thing to do is do what we do. Just go to your Ford dealer and drive one today. You will be impressed. Ford. I didn't put their special lower third up. There we go. How do you like that? Very professional. Ford.com Ford.com/technology. We thank Ford so much for their support and for letting us drive the cars. And someday I'm going to get to try that. You know why they don't want me to try the Mustang? Because I have a 2010 Mustang and they're afraid that I will want to trade it up, And I think I might for all that new stuff they're putting in the 2012 Focus and the Mustang. But I think I'm holding out for the electric. That's my plan anyway.
Electric.
Yeah.
Electric what?
Focus. All electric. So, they, you know, this is wild. They sell... It's a 240. You can use 120 AC, but it's slow. If you get the 240 volt charger, put it in the garage. I have a 240 outlet for the dryer out there, and I put it in the, and you put it in, and they sell that at Best Buy, and the Geek Squad comes over and installs it, which is kind of cool. So then it charges in 3 hours, and they're claiming 150 kilometer, which I think is about 100 mile range. So this is going to be pretty 3 hour charging. It's awesome. And more, you know, I went to the Oakland airport the other day, and they have, it's actually kind of cool, they have charging stations for electric vehicles, and they're right next to the terminal. It's like you get priority treatment, right? And there's never anybody in there. Like, every time I see that, I go, you know, we only have three. Are they going to be full? No. So now's the time. Ford.com/technology. Back again with Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, talking about Microsoft. This is something Chrome and Chrome started, Firefox is now doing, and IE is going to do. What could that be, ladies and gentlemen?
Sucking less.
No, you know, I stopped using Chrome on Macintosh. There's something wrong with it. It's slow.
Really?
Yeah, but I can tell you, though, I'm not using IE because they don't make it.
Sure.
But, you know, Chrome, I love Chrome on Windows. For some reason, it's just not working on the Mac very well. They're auto-updating. There you go. Keith512 in the chat room. Ben M. in the chat room. Robin Schk in the chat room. You guys win the prize. This fabulous jewelry from ice.com. I'll tell you about it in a minute. No, you don't win anything. I'm keeping that. You got to be careful. You can't say that because then they'll say, where's my jewelry? And I can't give it to them. It's pretty, though. Look at that. Anyway, I'm sorry. I got off track. Auto-updating for... Microsoft Internet Explorer. Who wants to take this one?
I will.
All right, Mary Jo.
So they just announced this today, in fact. They say that starting in January, they're going to begin rolling this out so that whatever PC you're on, you're going to, if you have automatic updates turned on in Windows Update, you're automatically going to get the most recent version of IE that works on your PC. So say you're an XP user, you're going to get IE8. Automatically pushed to you.
That's
unless
nice.
You block
you don't get that announcement that thing says, would you like to upgrade your browser? Because I think that even scares people, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what? Why?
So believe it or not, this also is a controversial decision. Because a lot of my readers on All About Microsoft are business users. And yes, there are ways to block this, right? Because some of them do not want to go to the latest version.
That.
Paul's making a face.
No,
I understand that.
No. And it's not home users. It's who should be auto-updated just because, frankly, they're the ones using 5.5. It's businesses who have intranet pages that only work with 6, or they have reasonable business policies
This is the problem with what we do, Mary Jo, because the company that we cover, Microsoft, can never do anything right. Right?
I know.
In other words... When Chrome was auto-updating everyone, and everyone who uses Chrome loves that it auto-updates, was there a single voice out there saying, you know, the reason I don't use Chrome is because it auto-updates? I like to use the old browser. You know, no. But now that Microsoft is doing it too, you know, you get this like unbelievable, it's just like the Windows Phone app thing. You know, like no one is ever happy. This is clearly the right thing to do, and unlike Chrome, they're doing it the right way.
You're starting to sound like Louis C.K. No one is ever happy. Life sucks. You're all going to die.
Well, I mean, it's just you can't write anything. Can't we just agree that this is good?
Yeah. Well, but I understand why business...
Isn't this good news?
And business could turn it off, right? I mean, they don't have
it.
It's good. Everything they did is right.
Businesses can turn it off. Yeah. Right. Businesses can turn it off, and there's auto-blocking tools that you can install if you're an admin, and you can stop it from doing it.
So there's no complaining.
So there are ways to
bitching about this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's good. I'll tell you who else it's good for besides Microsoft. It's good for developers, right? Because right. they're the ones who are having to support all these different right. versions of Internet Explorer. So the fewer, the better, right? And right. it's also, you know, part of Microsoft's whole campaign to get people off of IE6 and to use a more modern browser.
Right.
So, you know, I see it as more of a good thing, definitely, than a bad thing, as long as, you know, business users have a way to opt out and there's no coercion on anyone's
right.
part.
And they do. And they will for the next version, too. Right. They're going to have an IE blocker tool for IE10. So right. they're doing the same thing going forward. No worries. You know, obviously, if you buy into a new version of Windows, you get whatever the version was that's in there. And then you run into issues with XP, where XP can only go up to IE8. That's as high as it goes. IE9 right. is not supported over there. So you have that stuff, but given the complexities of what Microsoft has to support here, I think they did the right thing. It's nice.
Yeah, you know, it's just changing world. And, it used to be that you know, people would update browsers at will. Mm-hmm. And because the browser is now the chief vector for security issues on any platform, it just has to be updated automatically.
You know, think about the way the world works today. A typical consumer, right?
They're using their computer. They don't want to know or care what version browser they're
right.
using.
So this thing pops up that says, hey, there's a new version of Internet Explorer. How would you like to install that? And right. they're either busy
right.
or they're a little off put by that.
Right.
They just want to get on with life and they cancel it. Or they put it to the background. They forget about it. That's what they do because a lot of, to them, that's like, what is this thing? It's like some weird annoyance, you know? I mean, half the time, granted, Chrome hasn't changed in any dramatic fashion. I mean, going from IE6 to IE8 is probably a big, pretty big leap. But, you know, if anything, my only complaint about this would be maybe they should have done this sooner. So to me, this is just a big win. I'm just glad they're doing this.
I also don't think they're going to hide the version number like Mozilla's doing, right? You're still going to know. What you're doing.
Well, yeah, you'll know because these things look different too. I mean, you know, right. imagine you are that IE6 user on Windows XP, God help you. You wake up one morning and IE8 is on there. You're going to notice. There's no doubt about it. I mean, even if they don't pop up a little introductory video or whatever, yeah. you're going to, you know, that thing changed. There's no doubt about it.
Moving along. I think we've drained this concept of all juice,
all life, and
it's dead now. All the fun's gone out of it. That's a little reference to Of Mice and Men for those of you who would like to visit the public library. Xbox Live,
where you can find Chromebooks for some reason.
Yes, you can. That's right.
Yeah, this and other things you don't want at the public library.
I presume you talked about this last week with Iaz, but it happened while I was in France. They updated the Xbox.
Right. The update we got last week was significantly, I don't want to say, maybe it's not fair to say. We got a dashboard update, but what it didn't have was any of that content, you know, the new.
That they've been TV saying about this TV, this whatever this Microsoft TV
yeah.
thing is.
And yeah. so that stuff was going to come later in December. So actually this past week, we've gotten some of it to appear. Ah. There's a basic version of what the Verizon service is going to be. YouTube is on there now, TMZ, Sci-Fi, and some other services. So it gives you an opportunity to take a look at some of what they've been talking about, you know, for this stuff. And then there's more to come still. The one I'm most interested in is Fios. And actually, it's not all there yet. It's only, I don't know, remember how many, maybe 15 live channels, live TV channels. Some are in standard definition. Some are in high definition. It's got HBO and Cinemax if you subscribe to those things. And then what's coming in the future is more channels plus the on-demand stuff, which is really cool. And, you know, the quality of the video is okay and sometimes very good. It's never that awesome, crisp 1080p HD that you would expect from a true, you know, cable or fiber type system like Fios is. But it's decent. And even in its current state, which is really just a preview form, this thing has become very valuable in my house because my son can now use it to watch TV on a secondary TV that doesn't have any kind of a cable box. But it does have his Xbox 360, and they've added captioning. So in the Fios app, they have really crisp, clear captioning for all of the channels, which is fantastic. They also updated the Netflix app. That actually happened last week. But the Netflix app on the Xbox 360 also supports captioning, as it does now on the Apple TV, by the way. So previous to this, the only way to get that captioning, I think, was on the Roku and possibly the PlayStation 3. I can't recall. And on the, you know, the web version. So this stuff is kind of coming together. It looks pretty good.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't checked the update. I haven't had a chance to. My, you know, and partly it's because my Logitech review, the Google TV box, just updated. And I, you know how excited I have been.
We all are really excited about that. by the way, one of the things that's nice about these apps with the TV integration, you know, if
they
you've
have
ever
apps. They have apps on the new Google TV.
No, they do. Of course they do. But yeah, I mean, I was going to say, cool. if you configure any online service through any platform, whether it's a TV platform, mobile device platform, whatever it is, and I'm talking about things like, you know, Netflix or Amazon or the Apple TV type stuff or Pandora, whatever, any of those things. Every one of those things has an account associated with it. So one of the annoying things you have to do is you sit there in the beginning and you type in your username and your password and all that kind of stuff. And you kind of repeat this process on every single device on which you configure this service. And then you do it for all of the services, you know. One of the things that's nice about Verizon Fios, and I assume this will be true of Xfinity when that arrives and whatever other carrier partners that they go with, is it just detects that you're on their network and you don't have to do anything. So if I am a Fios subscriber, I had my Xbox. We did one of those LAN night things where we play video games at someone's house. I went to his house, went to access it. It checked his cable system and said, you don't have Fios. We can't do this now. Ooh. But then when I'm home with it, it checks and I do have Fios and it just enables everything. So if I had HBO, which I don't, those channels would be automatically enabled. It actually can change the availability of content based on what your subscriber package is. And it's all automatic. So you don't have to, you know, honey, where's the bill? I need to know what my customer number is. And did we ever configure a pad? There's none of that stuff. You just turn it on and it works. And that's nice.
Yeah. Really nice.
Paul, how much are you using Bing voice now that you have this update? Like, are you
not
saying to your TV, Bing?
No,
does that go through Connect? Do you have to have a Connect to use that? I guess you
don't have to have a Connect. No, because you can still type in.
How does
the
it hear you? Oh, you could type it in. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But
yeah.
If you're talking to your TV, you have to have a Connect.
Yeah.
Or just be a crazy.
So I'll just say from the
a normal crazy person, but a crazy person.
Yeah, it's like, honey, you know, we took the Connect off the TV 3 months ago, right?
I don't care. I am so mad at you, Barbara Walters. I'm sorry.
No, it works. I mean, it works. I just will never do it. You know, you can say Xbox Bing and it goes to the Bing screen and you can say Bing whatever it is. I've done things like Harrison Ford was one of the ones because Harrison Ford is something that is obviously the name of an actor, but it comes up in all of the content types. So there are video games like Lego and Indiana Jones. It comes up. There are movies like Cowboy and Aliens and the Indiana Jones movies, Presumed Innocent. And then for some reason in songs too, I guess there's I think someone has a song called Harrison Ford or whatever, but it gives you a nice little example of all the various ways in which it works. And then the really interesting bit, and again, this is just going to get better and better over time, is like consider a movie like Presumed Innocent as a good example or Apocalypse Now or whatever it is. Depending on what services are available at the time, and right now there are only a few, but in the future there will be more. When you look at that movie in the search results, it will give you the opportunity to go and buy it or rent it or stream it or whatever across the various services that happen to have that movie. So Presumed, I'm working off the top of my head, this might be a little bit off, but I think Presumed Innocent was available on the Epic service, but not on any of the other stuff. But if you went to Apocalypse Now, you could buy it from Zune in HD or standard definition. You could rent it from Zune. You could stream it over Netflix, and you could stream it from Epix if you subscribe to that service. So depending on what it's different for everyone because, you know, some movies are here, some are there, and, you know.
This is what consumers want because what's driving us crazy and the thing that doesn't work with the appification of the TV is they're all siloed, so you don't know who has what. So now with cross-silo search, you've got to have that or none of this makes
sense. But I guess the issue I have with this is it works, right? So it's fine.
It replaces the program guide to some degree.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is also broken with 500 channels. Good luck finding anything.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's yes. The problem is, I guess, is, you know, realistically speaking, if you sit down at 8 o'clock at night and you want to watch a movie or something, and you're going to use voice search to find it, and you do that search for Harrison Ford, you know, the fact that Harrison Ford is somehow associated with a Lego Indiana Jones game is not interesting in the slightest. Like, what you're really looking for is movies. I mean, The cross entertainment type thing is of a little bit less interest, I would say.
But they have to do it because there are some people who are sure. want the other references, right?
I think what they need to do, though, is have a way to filter that down and even say, look, I'm only using this Xbox 360 as an entertainment to
so you could
TV
have default, some sort of default.
I don't want video games. Right. I don't want trailers. Right. You know, I want TV shows and movies. It'd be neat if you could do something.
I could see why they don't, though, because it just gets more and more tweaky and complicated, right? And this is like a consumer device.
Remember, Windows Phone Marketplace search used to work. There was no way to filter the search results in the beginning, so that thing could show apps.
That's true. It was not as good. On a constrained screen, that is not as good. You're right. That becomes a big issue.
Well, I don't mind it searching across all of the things, but you have to give them the ability to filter, and on Windows Phone now you can. So you can say, look, I just want to search apps right now.
Right. Right. And they don't have that in Xbox. I got it.
I don't believe so. I don't believe so, yeah.
Do you like the overall?
It stinks.
Do you like the upgrade? Because I do.
And I can see the promise of it because it's going to get better and better. And, you know, when you have the newer console, which is very quiet, especially when you're not playing a video game. And even, you know, with the Kinect, with the voice control, which works well for what it is. Although I would argue that Microsoft sells a $20 Xbox Media Remote is probably a better choice for navigating around the UI. It works good. There are inconsistencies. You know, the Kinect stuff works some places, not others. Sometimes it's motion only. Sometimes it's motion or voice. Sometimes you hit a dead end. So if you're doing a voice navigation type of thing, and you find yourself in, say, like the YouTube app, which for a typical example. All of a sudden, voice doesn't work anymore. Then you have to go back to using another navigational type, you know, a remote control, a hand controller. I think Kinect might work in YouTube. I can't remember, you know, the hand motion stuff. So it's a little screwy in that sense because it's somewhat inconsistent across apps, you know, what capabilities are there. But overall, yeah, I mean, it's a nice change.
All right, let's move on to another exciting topic. I know, exciting to all of us, a Windows Phone text message attack bug. If I had suspense, what is it? Suspenseful Chipmunk, I'd play it right now.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum. What is it? What is it and what does it mean? Was this something you covered last week?
No, this is brand new.
Oh, it says update. I thought there was something new.
Well, it's one of those stories that kind of kept morphing all week. I think the first reports of it were calling it a denial of service attack.
I know, which is beautiful.
What it seems to be is there's a fault, a supposed fault in Windows Phone where somebody can send you an SMS that will shut down your messaging hub and lock it. So Microsoft says they're investigating whatever this is. And they are going to see if it needs to be fixed or how to be fixed. There's been no attacks using this in the wild. And I know Paul has some strong views, perhaps, as he often does.
Well, it's not an attack, right? In other words, like some hacker somewhere didn't figure out a problem with Windows Phone and then start sending errant text messages trying to hurt people. You know, it really is some kind of a weird font that for whatever reason is triggering something in Windows Phone, not just in, it's not really SMS. In fact, the way this happened, I believe, was through Facebook. For some reason, when it gets out to Windows Phone, there's something about this weird font that triggers a problem. The way Windows Phone works is if it uncovers an OS fault, for security reasons, it just reboots. So because, you know, everything is sandboxed and they don't want any app to inflict other apps. And this is triggering that effect on Windows Phone. So, you know, the only way you can get around it is to reset the phone, you know, do a hard reset. But unfortunately, because of the way it was reported, we don't really know the technical details of anything. So it appears not to just affect Windows Phone. It appears not to just affect SMS on Windows Phone, but we're going to have to wait until Microsoft does whatever investigation they do, and then hopefully they can fix it before Apollo hits, you know, next year or whatever. But we'll see. I mean, it's a confusing thing. The point, though, is it's not really an attack. I guess it could be used as an attack if someone figured out what the font was and how to make it work. But, you know, it was just a really just a glitch. It was a weird thing. Windows Phone has this integration with Facebook where it comes up through the messaging interface now in version 7.5. So that was how it kind of propagated on this guy's phone. But it was someone actually did not send him an SMS message. It actually went through Facebook. So, I mean, virtually, you know, the entire way this thing's been reported has been completely incorrect from step one, unfortunately. But again, that's because, unfortunately, the way it was reported to bloggers and so forth was...
Yeah, well, welcome to my world. I mean, we hear this. I mean, this is the one, usually it's about Android, frankly.
Sure.
Occasionally about iPhone. But Android seems to be the target for these weird stories. People don't understand security and technology all that well, and so the stuff and the problem is everybody just kind of repeats it, so there's this massive echo chamber and one mistake.
Oh, that's my biggest propagates. Right, so remember the carrier IQ thing?
Yeah,
the guy who first reported that, he made a video, I guess a set of videos on right. YouTube. He was described again and again and again as a security researcher. He's not a security researcher. He's an IT guy. He's at best, I think we would describe him as an Android enthusiast. You know, he's not, but you see how those things kind of, you've said right. it once out in public, so now it's like a fact.
I've even repeated it because I read the article and it says security, and I presume right. who's reporting, you know, if it's Reuters or whatever, that they verify exactly. this. What I got to exactly. remember is that most general purpose reporters don't have a clue what a security researcher is or isn't.
How does one become a security researcher?
Yeah,
majored in security research.
But then I read Trevor Eckhart, who's this guy, I read his blog, and it turns out he's an IT guy, and he saw all this traffic coming in and out of his company's network, and he said, well, what's that coming from? And he did some digging and he made some mistakes, some kind of
but he also to give him credit, I'm not trying to defend
he did discover
he actually
it. Yeah,
he did raise a very interesting issue with regards to privacy and so forth.
So just out of curiosity, that carrier IQ, do Windows phones have that on there, or do we know?
They do not.
So it's the carriers that put it on. Or?
Leo, eventually that app will be added to the App Store, but we're still looking at that.
And this is when it's good to have fewer apps instead of more apps.
But so it's only Android, or I can't remember.
No, it's iOS Android, as well. It's also iOS.
Yeah. Well, there's a differentiator.
Yes.
The NSA can't spy on you with this.
Right.
So I'm, as I play with this Nokia Lumia, I'm very impressed. I'm very excited, and I can't wait to get my hands on one in the U.S.
Yeah.
Do we know how soon this is going to happen?
I would think
January. That's soon. Oh yeah, you said that CES. Well, they'll announce at CES.
Do you think though announcement in January and availability after
that's
January?
That's the question.
I heard both. I heard they were going to happen pretty quickly together. Yeah.
Now somebody sent me, as soon as we started talking about this, the link to the story on Engadget about T-Mobile offering the 710, but that's the low end of this. That's not the American version of the 800. It's the inexpensive.
The other one, yeah.
But
I actually think that phone will appeal to a lot of people as well. It's colorful.
$50.
It has those snap-on plates that you can put on the back that have bright colors and everything. That's a nice looking phone.
Yeah, it's for the children.
It's for the kids.
This is very
good. That one's January 11th, we know. The 710 on T-Mobile.
Nothing less says success like launching on T-Mobile.
It's the other phone company.
T-Mobile, is that still a thing?
Yeah. Actually, I have a lot of T-Mobile phones because
the Discover card.
Whenever I get an unlocked, like I'll put a T-Mobile SIM in this. Whenever I get an unlocked phone, that's what I put the T-Mobile SIM in there, and it usually works. Now, what about LTE, though? The T-Mobile only has HSPA+. That's what's on this 710.
Right.
Will there be 4G available? LTE
4G? LTE is kind of a sore spot right now, Leo.
Yeah, okay. I won't mention that then. No LTE.
It's coming.
Well, hey, you're not alone. Neither does the iPhone.
Well, so there was a headline last week about Verizon threatening Microsoft. If you guys don't support LTE, I don't see why we should support this platform. Ooh. To which I said, did Apple receive such a threat? Because their phones, they don't even, when Windows Phone will give the bone of calling HSCA, HSPA or whatever. They actually call it 4G on the phone. You know, Apple, when they had their
iOS. 4G, it's HSPA Plus.
They call it 4G.
Right.
Up in the
lower. So does T-Mobile.
Yep.
But on the iPhone, at that event for the iPhone 4S, they said, look, a lot of people say this is 4G. This isn't. We're not going to make any determination. But then they call it 3G on the phone.
Right.
So it's they 3G. Clearly are making a determination. They've decided that's 3G, not 4G.
Well, so. I don't even think, to be honest, the LTE implementations we're going to see in the U.S. On AT&T and Verizon are true 4G either. According to Wikipedia, 4G is 100 megabits.
This is like the high-speed rail issue we have in the United States.
Yeah, high-speed if the tracks are okay.
High-speed compared to what? Yeah. Like grandma with a walker? Yes, it's faster.
Right. So it's not real. It's not 4G as the industry defines it. It's just faster than the networks we've got now.
Greatest country.
There was a report, though, that I think it was on CNET this week that said Verizon supposedly is showing to Nokia supposedly is showing to Verizon and to AT&T a 4G phone that they have. And they're kind of shopping it around and saying, hey, look, we can do it. Do you guys want
Ironically, it's a Symbian phone, but...
Yeah, well, the issue, I think, is, I would guess, is battery life. And there are newer 4G chipsets, I am told, I'm not an expert, that are better, but they're not out yet. So it's the thing is, do you want it with bad battery life, or are you willing to hold on until we can get, the newer ones with a better battery life?
I think that phone, the Nexus Prime that's coming out tomorrow today.
On Verizon, that's 4G,
They have a battery option that's a really thick battery that puts a bump, in the back.
Exactly. The Verizon version is heavier and thicker.
Yeah, for that reason.
Exactly for that reason.
Well, you want it to last past lunch.
Yeah, you really do. You really do. Somebody gave me a good tip, which is to, and of course, it really makes a phone useless, but it does improve battery life. You turn off background updating of apps so that when the app is not foreground, it's not using data. And that means when the phone's off or not, when it's the screen's off, it's not really doing anything. It's just sitting there.
Yeah, but it's not warming your pocket either.
I know. I know. And in Dedham, that's an important feature.
Sure is, especially this week.
I have the Nexus. This is the T-Mobile, non-4G version of the phone. And I'll tell you. It's a nice phone, and I'm an Android fan. An ice cream sandwich is good in many ways. But look at this; you can see it even on this image that we're sending out over our stream. The quality of the supposedly Super AMOLED screen on the Nexus, because it's not good, because it's using that weird technology where it doesn't every pixel is kind of pixelated. It's complicated. But look how much better this Windows phone
is.
Looks.
Do you actually see like a little grid almost of the pixels?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. It's what they call a pentile display.
You know, the MacBooks used to be like that, remember?
It's you don't see, you can't see it in kind of a normal image. But when you have a white screen or a gray screen, and I have some apps that start off like this, you can see red, green, and blue pixels. You can actually
see. You think is it something everyone can see or only certain people?
I think everyone could see it. It goes away if you turn up the brightness all the way, but then of course you get no battery life either. So
it's like driving a 1970s station wagon up a hill.
Right. When I turn this all the way up, it looks as good as the Windows Phone.
Yeah.
The blacks are really black, and the whites are clear, and so forth. But it's not. It's not. Nobody's going to operate it that way because you get 10 minutes. So I think that is a little bit of a disappointment, frankly, because in many ways this is supposed to be the hot phone.
Yep.
I cannot wait to see whatever Nokia does with the Lumia for the U.S. market. So the debate is announced in CES, but comes out in March. Is that what you're hearing, Mary Jo? March?
Yeah. I had one person say March. The one thing I do know is I was reading a Bloomberg Business Week article this week, and it quoted someone from Nokia saying, we're going to have a huge presence at CES with a lot to say, or something along those lines. So I think for them, CES will be more of like an announcement place than probably like, here it is and it's available today.
Right. That's typical of CES. In fact, the typical, the common wisdom at CES is they announce stuff that it won't be available to the fall. It's a way of telling dealers, here's what's coming in the fall. Now, phones, of course, the cycle's way too speedy for that. But I don't think you go to CES. I don't go to CES expecting to see something that's available now.
Yeah.
Boy, this looks a lot better when you turn the brightness all the way up for a few minutes.
I have this internal document that says Nokia/AT&T announcement at CES, January 2012.
Good.
But it says Nokia available in U.S. January 2012.
Hmm.
I wonder if they meant the 710.
Because we now that just came out. Sure. That announcement just came out. But that would have been December. Right? They just announced that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing dates back to the beginning of September. Yeah. I mean, they have like all the stuff that occurred, you know, Nokia World, the retail launch plus open house US, HTC radar, general availability at T-Mobile, et cetera, you know. We'll see.
So I want to show you some jewelry, and then we'll get on with the show. Microsoft rolls out something called Sokol. It's social without an I or an A.
But they still pronounce it social.
Kind
of. Yeah, of course they do.
Of course they do. It looks like the Polish version of social. Silverlight 5, perhaps the last Silverlight. And here's the big story. The big story. We buried the lead once again. Bill Gates coming back to Microsoft.
Sorry.
Or not. So before I do that, let me talk about Ice Ice Baby. Somebody sent me an email saying, why you guys talk about jewelry? Why you guys? Because I'll tell you, you want to know why we guys talk? First of all, they're an advertiser, but that, which always helps. If you want us to talk about you, become an advertiser. But we also know that geeks are not often the best. Let's put it this way. Male geeks are not known for their expertise in shopping. And I think, Mary Jo, you will agree that jewelry is always welcome on any holiday.
I totally agree.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think either one of us know how to handle that question.
No, Mary Jo,
I'm sorry.
Speaking for the distaff side, says yes. And but the problem is, you know, a guy like me goes, well, okay, I'm going to get some jewelry. Now, what do I do? So I'm telling you what you do. You go to ice.com. And you use our special Windows discount, ice.com/windows, and you will not only get some beautiful jewelry, you will get 30% off the purchase price, plus free guaranteed delivery by Christmas if you order through December 21st. You've got a week. And some of this, I mean, you would expect to pay so much. Look at this. This is a beautiful. Let me describe this. This is from ice.com. It is a black diamond there, 1/7 carat black diamond. See that? And 10 pearl, beautiful pearl, freshwater pearl, on a white gold pendant. This is a beautiful necklace. Normally $125. Don't tell don't tell your girlfriend or your wife, but this is $87.50 with the Windows discount. Some beautiful stuff. You want to go a little? You want to get a little? Maybe some beautiful earrings. This is, my wife loves the diamond earrings. 1/2 carat princess cut diamond, 10K white gold earrings. $300 normally, $206.50. Or this one. This is, I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of items there. This is a 1.5 carat Morganite and black diamond, 14 carat with pink gold. I should put it on my pinky because I love the pink gold. No, really, the pink gold. I don't know if you can see that. It's beautiful.
Are you going to make us kiss your ring the next
time?
Would
you please? I should, you know what? That looks good on me. That looks, I think so. Kiss the ring. This is normally $450, but if you go to ice.com/windows right now, $315. That is a gorgeous ring. Take a look at ice.com because I'm just showing. This is the tip of the iceberg, get it? They have gorgeous stuff in all styles. And anything you see in this store will be 30% off. And you don't have to just buy one thing. Your entire purchase, 30% off and free guaranteed delivery by Christmas. But you have to go to ice.com. No minimum purchase required. Free shipping. 30% off. ice.com/windows. My friends at ice.com have a special offer. This is, don't tell anybody about this. This is for the Twit audience only. For Windows Weekly listeners only. Don't tell anybody about it. This is your secret. Well, you can if you want. Your secret. Don't wait till don't do what I do. I wait till Christmas Eve. And you see, look at, Paul, I don't know if you, it's subtle, but it's there. Let's just zoom in on this. Welcome, Windows Weekly listeners. Take 30% off today.
I have never felt dirtier than I have.
What are you getting the little woman for Christmas? Let me ask you that, Paul Thurrett. Another Xbox game? Honey, I got you Modern Warfare 3. I know you'll love it.
You know, I'm trying not to buy technology gifts for my wife.
I don't. Please. I know, you know, your wife is pretty sophisticated. She loves her Kindle. She's absolutely techno-literate. But I just take it from me. I've been married 20 years. Jewelry. You can never go wrong with jewelry. ice.com/windows. You can go wrong with technology. I'm just saying. It is possible to go wrong with technology. Just saying, that's all. Moving along, Bill Gates. No, I'll save this one. I will save this one because it's such a good one, and we're going to keep people listening all through the rest of the show. Let's talk social. S-O-dot-C-L, what the hell is that?
You know, it was funny. This was something that leaked a while ago, and everybody was calling it Microsoft's Facebook killer.
Yeah, right.
It first leaked.
People love that kind of a phrase, right?
They love that. Yeah. But no, it's not that at all. What it is a project coming out of Fuse Labs, which was something Ray Ozzie set up when he was still at Microsoft. And it's a social lab at Microsoft. And the idea of this is to mostly for students and academics to kind of help them integrate all different kinds of social feeds and search.
It looks like Google Plus an awful lot.
It kind of does. And Microsoft says, no, also not meant to be a Google Plus killer. I asked that too. But yeah, it's supposed to let you integrate all these different feeds and do it in a very visual way. So you can pull in different kinds of like video or pictures from the web, things you find by searching. And they told me they kind of came up with this idea when they were talking to students who are in what are now called information schools that used to be like library science programs.
Right,
you know, now
right.
The new modern name is information schools. And it's the idea is like, let's see what we could do if we take off our blinders about how you search for information and share it and let people just do some crazy things with something that's like an activity feed. And what would people do if they didn't have the boundaries? So it's an experiment. It's a project. It's an experiment. It's not a Facebook killer. It's not a Google Plus killer.
Well, in fact, I could tell it's not a Facebook killer because how do you sign in to social? Through Facebook. Really wouldn't be a Facebook killer if you had to use Facebook to use it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And right now it's just being tested among a few hundred people. They expanded the invitation pool today, in fact, and let people start inviting others.
Oh, so I need an invite for this.
You need an invite.
Because it's letting me sign in via Facebook, but then it's going to complain.
Yep.
It's going to say, well, nice try, Leo. Sorry we made you jump through all these hoops. But you can't use it. I'm allowing it.
Are you in information school, Leo, or not?
I'm a librarian. Oh, look, thanks for joining the social waiting list. We'll mail you an invitation soon. And by the way, the URL for this message, Microsoft's really got to work on this. Error, overcapacity.
That's awesome.
That's not
very social.
That's not good. You could really say... welcome, social.com coming soon, but no error, overcapacity. And I wish they hadn't made me jump through the Facebook hoop before they told me that. Because I've now given them access to my Facebook and got nothing in return. Zero. Anyway, so now you know what it is.
Yes.
It's anti-social. I am anti-social. let's see, moving along. Silverlight 5. This is the technology that will never die. Or will it?
It will.
Oh, it will.
Yeah, we put this one on the agenda for today because...
Because you love me.
Just last week... Yes, because we love you. And because just last week, right after we taped the show, Microsoft actually delivered Silverlight 5. They had been supposed to deliver... they were going to deliver in November. Then that didn't happen. They said sometime in the coming weeks. And then last week, boom, here it is. So this is the latest version of Silverlight. It's got a lot of both incremental and fairly large new features. If you're a Silverlight developer, you definitely are going to care about it. But the thing everybody was most interested in is this the end? You know, is this the last version of Silverlight? And this is a very, very controversial topic. Paul saw me post on this last week, and suddenly I was being like attacked on all sides on Twitter for saying maybe this is the end.
I actually wrote her to see if she was okay.
He did. He sent me an IM. He's like, "Are you okay? Is everyone's hating
you? How dare you, Mary Jo Foley? I'm never giving you jewelry again."
Exactly. So, but you know what kind of signals to me that this may be the last version is in previous versions of Silverlight. Usually, there's support for a year or two after it's released. That Microsoft says, "Okay, we'll support it for 2 years, and there'll be another version." When they announced this last week, they said, "And we're going to support Silverlight 5 till 2021." Okay.
Yikes.
So that kind of sounds to me like there probably isn't going to be a Silverlight 6.
Where did they pick 2021 out of?
It's an Arthur C.
10 years from now.
Oh, it's 10 years. All right.
I think they just said 10 years.
In the year 2121, if Silverlight is still alive, if woman can survive.
The last man on Earth is a Silverlight programmer. We're doomed.
You did it, you filthy apes.
All right, sorry.
I think it's good. They're giving people, so to me, this is how I interpret this. They're giving people 10 years to move to HTML5 and JavaScript and CSS.
That's it.
Because
we're cutting
HTML
you off.
HTML6 will be out by then.
Yeah, or 7.
That's awesome.
We're cutting you off.
I mean, with Windows 8, you still can develop with Silverlight. I'm not saying that you can't. And, there's XAML support built into Windows 8. So if you're a Silverlight programmer, you can use Silverlight to write for Windows 8. But Microsoft is really trying to wean you away from this platform, I believe. Although they still have not said that definitively.
But to say it,
I'm sure they'll have a developer event in the spring. Oh, wait.
That's what Apple did when the Apple II was being replaced by the Macintosh. They had a conference called Apple II Forever.
Sure.
Just,
which is how you knew it was all over.
That's when you knew. It was like, okay, guess they're killing it. Apple II Forever. And finally, Bill Gates back full-time at Microsoft. Was there an article that said this?
Oh, God. Somebody predicted it, right? But no, it was a friend of a friend.
Oh, dear.
Some CEO friend of Gates said he was thinking about it. It was so coached in caveats.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was interviewed in Australia. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you tell it. You're more vested in this one.
Well, no, this is like everything I hate about the news wrapped up in one beautiful story, because it is how, it was repeated everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, Bill Gates, he's going to come back on a white horse and save Microsoft, from his best friend, the guy he put in charge.
Right.
So anyway, he was just interviewed in an Australian newspaper this week. And he said, no, I'm not doing that. He has a very part-time capacity there. That's not changing. And they need him at his foundation where he says they're doing very important work. And absolutely they are.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's the end of that.
What does he do? What does he do part-time at Microsoft?
He spreads malaria. Oh, you mean at Microsoft?
He releases mosquitoes.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, he's the chairman of Microsoft.
So he goes to the board meetings.
Yeah, he's not involved in the day-to-day activities, although he's supposed, anytime you want to show that some product at Microsoft is a big deal, you can throw up Bill Gates' name and say, well, Bill Gates personally said no.
Bill liked this. When I showed it to Bill, he was just very excited about this.
So I don't think he has a big role.
Chairman knows.
I really love the article Harry McCracken did on this, on Technologizer. His headline is, "Don't pine for Bill Gates, Microsoft fans." And all the reasons.
Bill Gates is the reason they've had all these problems. I've said this many times,
Yep. He says the same thing. He's like, one of his points is Ballmer is busy mopping up some of Bill Gates' mistakes.
Wow.
Yep. People don't want to hear that. They're like, no, remember when Bill Gates ran Microsoft, everything was so much better.
Right.
But Bill Gates got out right around the time of Vista, right?
Yeah. Bill Gates was the reason they were in antitrust cases throughout the 2000s. He was the reason. It was his business philosophy that got them there. He was the belligerent guy that made all that stuff happen. So,
I like the point a lot of people are making, saying, what Microsoft really needs, if and when you're going to replace Steve Ballmer, what they really need is new blood. I agree with that. You need an outsider to come in, I believe.
I think you need younger and hungrier. I think you need more engineer-driven. You know, I think Microsoft is by definition a software company, an engineering kind of company.
That, I think, is what people are perhaps really saying, which is that Steve Ballmer is a salesman, not a technologist. And can we have a technologist in charge, please? Bill is
it'd be like putting, what was that guy's name? Was it Bill Turner or Kevin Turner?
Kevin Turner.
The guy, Kevin Turner. It'd be like putting Kevin Turner in charge of Microsoft. It's like, ugh, you need a technologist.
Right. Some leadership and innovation and breakthrough stuff. Although, some have said, Steve Jobs being one of them, that Microsoft doesn't really innovate. They never did that. They just...
I think we're at the point now where the whole concept of innovation has been turned on its head. People misunderstand what innovation means to start, but I'll just use Apple as kind of the classic example. People talk about how innovative Apple is, but Apple doesn't create anything new either. But we all agree that they're innovative, right? So in some ways, taking computing and bringing it to the masses is in its own way kind of innovative.
It's its own reward.
Well, it is also its own reward. Yes. But Microsoft doesn't innovate. Whatever. It doesn't even matter. Microsoft is successful or it isn't. I think the innovation thing gets contorted a little bit. And perhaps given a little too much precedence in people's minds. I don't like Microsoft because they don't innovate,
Right.
Yeah, because you're an innovator. I don't mean you personally, but the person who would say such a thing.
Right.
It's like, come on.
What have you done lately?
Right. What have you innovated lately? It's like the guy in ad, I can't use a Samsung because I'm creative.
Yeah.
You're a barista. It's just an artificial kind of complaint.
It is. No, I think you're right. Hey, we've got our tip of the week, our software pick, our code name. We've got lots of stuff still to come. Windows Weekly is on the air. Paul Thurrott from the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Mary Jo Foley from ZDNet, allaboutmicrosoft.com. I have another site to send you to. We all love New... I think it's safe to say, I'm among friends here, I can admit this, we all love Newegg. Yes?
We all have technology buying problems.
Yeah. When you can buy diamonds for your wife, but when it comes to... yourself.
See, this one I'm completely on board with.
I know. Newegg.com. Everybody knows about this. 85,000 products, 1.9 million customer reviews, all the stuff you lust for. But here's the problem. What are you going to do with that other stuff, the old stuff, the stuff you used to lust for, but now is just gathering dust? From lust to dust. Then I suggest Newegg.com/trade. Turn those old gadgets into cash. Casherino Gazelle powers. So you know about Gazelle. We talk about them all the time. Newegg.com/trade. You can trade in the smartphone, the MP3 player, the laptop, the digital camera, that old GPS, your Kindle, so you can get the new Kindle, video games, whatever it is you don't need anymore. Bring it to Newegg.com/trade. There's 20 product categories, 200,000 unique items. It's pretty much everything. You just click that button here. It says click here, click that, and enter in what you want to. You know what I want to get rid of? I'm really sorry I bought it. A Droid Bionic. Ooh, God.
Really?
Well, it's nice in many ways, but the camera is real slow. And now that Verizon has announced the Nexus with its super fast camera, it's time to get rid of the Bionic. And I think I'm not alone. So, yes, I can call. Yes, it's free of water damage. Good. So I say perfect condition. I haven't really messed up. Anyway, let's see. Press calculate. Let's see how much I'm going to get. $158. Yes. Put that in the box. We're halfway towards that new Nexus. That's how easy it is. They send you a mailing label. You send it in, and you get a credit with Newegg. Newegg.com/trade. Round up all those used gadgets from your home and office. It's such a good feeling just to get rid of them, and then now you've got some money to spend at Newegg. Newegg.com/trade. Take it from a geek. Once you know, you Newegg, which is a very confusing slogan, but that's it. I think that's it. When you know, you Newegg, something like that.
Then you go to the doctor.
I mean, it's on here on the site. I'm a big Newegg fan. I'm not knocking them. I'm not saying anything bad, but I'm just saying. When you know, you Newegg, something like that.
Invariably, when I buy something like a hard drive enclosure, which I have bought.
Oh, this is it.
An external eSATA enclosure, which I also bought. Yeah, this is the best.
But they do power tools. They do phones, gadgets of all kinds. I mean, you know, you can. They've got a home improvement section. They got a lot of stuff here. This is maybe you haven't been there lately. You should check it out. And they're also selling the Droid Bionic, so you could sell it and buy it. You got break even. Newegg.com/trade. I guess the new slogan is "Take it from a geek." I like that better. That's me. Once you know you Newegg. That was the old one, Big Ginge. It's now "Take it from a geek." So let's start with your Paul Thurrott, your tip of the week.
I use Windows Live Messenger because all my friends use it, but I really kind of hate the application and how it's gotten bloated over time. And they've added all these features that I don't like and that you can't disable. So, for example, if you paste an image into a message to someone or a URL, it will, like, expand the thing into it. It will turn your little chat window into this ginormous picture, you know, so you can view them together, which is something maybe my parents would want to do if they use Windows Live Messenger, but it's not the type of thing I want to do, and there's no way to fix that. Looking down the road, Microsoft is starting to open up the Messenger to these open source APIs, XMPP, I think it's called. So eventually, it's possible that someone will write a third-party Messenger alternative for Windows that I can use, and I look forward to that day. But in the meantime, there's a long-running
But wait a minute. Doesn't Trillion work or Pigeon? I mean, aren't those...
You know what? I mean this very sincerely. I have tried every single Messenger alternative on Earth. I think Pigeon was the one that came closest to what I'm looking for.
But not good enough.
No, the type of thing I want, actually, Microsoft makes the perfect instant messaging client. It's called Link, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work seamlessly on Windows Live, on the, you know, the Windows Live Messenger network. I would love to have that client running against Windows Live Messenger. The other one that comes close, actually, is Google Talk. That standalone application. Yep. It's because it's just simple.
It's,
you know,
clean.
I just want to type text. It's just
right.
Simple. Send the occasional URL. I do this. You know, Rafa and I'll chat all day. I chat with Mary Jo sometimes. I use it a lot, and I just kind of hate it. But there's a utility called Apache that's been around for a long time. I guess it was recently updated. And what it does is it gets rid of many things, but it allows you to get rid of that inline. Yes.
I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
Yeah. So, like, Raphael sent me that image. And of course, then that's what happens. It expands the window. And that's my this is how we interact. So he took a screenshot.
I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. So A dash patch.
It's like you click the little nudge button in the bottom of the window by mistake, and the whole window shakes like it's having a seizure. I hate stuff like that. And so what this A-Patch thing does is it patches Windows Live Messenger to remove a lot of the junk, like the advertisement, the that ability, you know, to the photo sharing and video sharing. And I it makes Windows Live Messenger almost usable. And so if you're using Messenger, I think you should take a look at A-Patch.
It's free?
Yeah. Yeah. You need to have it.
Looks like they have a patch for the Facebook and a patch for Yahoo Messenger. So this is...
I don't use those.
They made a business out of taking crap off of stuff.
You know, Windows Live Messenger by default today, if you write, will run in this weird full screen mode where it actually takes up your entire...
I don't want a Messenger.
Screen has like social networking stuff.
I don't want that.
I just want to send a URL. Like, why?
Why are you doing that?
Yeah, you're ruining something I'm barely okay using as it is. You know? Anyway,
a full screen messenger app is just bizarre.
I'm not interested. Not interested.
But you know what what I do like?
Connectimals.
I like my little connectimal, my little lion. Oh, he's so cute.
My daughter's favorite game. I occasionally will plug my iPhone and iPad into my computer and they sync up. And one day I'm looking at the photos that are in my my pictures library, and there's all these pictures of a lion cub somehow, and I this is a feature of this game. You can take photos of the animal. So my daughter took like 114 photos of a tiger cub playing Connectimals on the iPad or whatever.
I gotta put the audio in so you can hear my little lion purring. He's named Leo, by the way, just in case you care.
You know, my daughter's cub, whatever it's called, is called Cat.
I need to get. Can she call me and give me lessons? Because I don't. How are you supposed to play with him? All I can do is scratch.
You can do that.
That's all I can do. This is the best cat I've ever had. That's all he does.
It's not like Tamagotchi either, because if you don't...
I don't have to feed him or anything?
He doesn't sit there dead, like flies buzzing around it.
That is... Oh, look, I pushed him over. Oh, you can scratch his tummy.
The mother's going to attack.
Yeah, really? Oh. So this is one of the phone, the apps that is iPhone only, oddly enough, right?
iPhone, yeah. No, it's on Windows
Phone. Oh, they have Windows Phone? Oh, good. Oh, I touched his... That was a bad touch. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's not
moving along. Couldn't show off SkyDrive, huh? Yeah. I think there are probably millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of people out there who are using iOS and Windows and have these, or you know, in the Xbox and all that stuff. And now you can kind of integrate them in very interesting ways. So there's, you know, Halo Waypoint and My Xbox Live are available on iOS for Xbox fans. SkyDrive and OneNote available on the iPhone, and OneNote is available on the iPad as well, in an iPad-specific version. Link is coming. I guess it hasn't gone through the store yet. Connectimals, of course. And then, you know, some things that have been there for a while, like Bing, which is actually pretty good on the iPhone in particular, and Photosynth, which you were talking about earlier.
Right. So. I love Photosynth, yeah.
And then Android, actually, I didn't fix this, but Android now has Link and Hotmail.
Yay!
So you can grab those from your respective app stores. And if you have Windows Phone, most of those things are actually available on Windows Phone as well. Of course, Connectimals, Link, SkyDrive, OneNote is built in. Halo Waypoint is there. My Xbox Live is built into the phone. That's the Games Hub. Bing is built in. And then we do not have Photosynth for some strange reason.
And Connectimals is not free, but everything else is free. Or OneNote's not free.
We can all agree that it is so beautifully worth it.
A buck? What is it? $1.99? Everybody should buy it now.
How much is a child's happiness worth?
The only issue I think SkyDrive is getting, and you get 25 gigs, which free, which is fantastic.
So, by the way, this is an example of an app that's actually better on Windows Phone, because on the iPhone you can use the built-in viewers to view the documents. But on Windows Phone, you can edit them. So if you have a Word doc or an Excel spreadsheet, a PowerPoint presentation, OneNote notebook. Actually, that one might be wrong. I'm not sure about OneNote. Actually, OneNote, you might just need to do that separately through the hub. But these and PDF files, text files, obviously HTML files, all those things will load and you can edit them native. Well, not you can't edit HTML, but you can edit all the document types using the native apps on Windows Phone.
Well, somebody said, hey, this is all you can talk about for Microsoft? No, because let me tell you.
This is all we can talk about? All those apps?
All those apps? No, let me tell you. 17. Map Toolkit 6.5 is out, and I am so happy.
I'm just disappointed you took this one from me.
Yeah, I know. We all wanted to talk about it.
I know. I'm sure Paul can chime in with some more tidbits on this one, too. But Map Toolkit 6.5. Out as of December 6th, ready for download, free.
Exciting.
I know, you're excited, I can tell. What is this?
What is it?
What is this?
I don't know.
It's the Assessment and Planning Toolkit, Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, hence the name MAP. And why this new version is interesting is it adds a lot of capabilities to MAP that weren't there before. It adds a lot of new Azure functionality. So if you're somebody who's looking to assess whether you should migrate different applications to Azure, you can use this toolkit to help you make that assessment. You also can use it for figuring out, you know, the best way to move to Windows 7, IE 9, Office 365, Hyper-V, another of Leo's favorite topics, mm-hmm. the hypervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a little bit of heterogeneous support in this as well. There's some hooks in for VMware if you're somebody who also has a mix shop running some VMware, like the vCenter application perhaps, or the vSphere, can help you figure out your best plan of attack there. And or as well as some support for Oracle databases too. So if you're an IT person and you're trying to figure out, you know, I need to move to even just when, you know, we think Windows 7, oh, they're already ready to go to Windows 8. No, well, a lot of IT shops are still in the midst XP. Of planning to go to Windows 7. So this is your toolkit. You're going to love this.
And I'm being facetious because I know how valuable this is for IT guys. This is huge to have this capability.
Despite the fact that this is like warm milk and a cookie for me.
Well, you know, in my youth, when I was younger and I needed the money, I used to do industrial recordings, you know, in-house stuff for HP. And we go on and we talk to the consultants and the sales team. And the way I would handle this, because I didn't know what the hell it was. I don't know anything about enterprise. Is I would learn a few catchphrases. And it's just the glow you'd get when you'd say, well, does it work with hypervisor? They would just light up because they finally, somebody understands me. And it was just so gratifying. So I do pay attention, and I take these nuggets in case I ever have to talk to somebody about this stuff.
In case you give up this gig,
in case I need the money.
Yeah.
No, it was fun because I had to learn a lot. It was well outside my wheelhouse, but it was always fun to do that. That was 15 years ago.
Well outside my wheelhouse.
How do you like that? A little baseball metaphor there.
It's a good phrase because it's immediately apparent what you mean, but I have no idea what you're talking
everybody,
about.
Everybody knows what a wheelhouse is. That's sound good. Now that you mention it, that is a very strange thing to say.
No, it's the perfect or not, phrase.
And believe it or not, Leo, there's actually a group of Windows Weekly listeners who, whenever I say Hyper-V, they tweet excitedly about it. We're calling them the Hyper-V fan club.
You see? I knew this.
Nice.
See? They just get this warm glow about them that somebody really cares. I love that about it.
They still make Hyper-V?
Yes, they do.
They do.
It's going to get even bigger and badder and better with Windows Server 8, guys.
Windows 8.
You heard it here first.
It's a Hyper-V extravaganza.
It is.
Meanwhile, back to our code name bingo, where Mary Jo comes up with a Microsoft code name and queries us all, what the hell could this be?
Yeah, and Paul was very excited about this one. Actually, in the show notes, he put a little extra notation next to it. The code name is Roswell.
And Paul says, tell me it's about aliens, please.
Exactly. Paul's like, tell me it's about aliens. Is there a UFO?
Please be alien technology.
So, even better, Paul, there's a Windows Azure Data Market connection. Way better than aliens.
Yes.
So if you've been following Windows Azure Data Market, you know that Microsoft uses this to publicize and first publish, then publicize data sets. Why are you rubbing your eyes?
that's a big F. But go ahead.
I'm going to make it more fun. Hang on. So Windows Azure Data Marketplace, data sets are published there. And so people who want to combine those data sets with their own data sets, they can go and actually check out what's in the marketplace and buy them or get the free ones, download them. So, you know, Microsoft's been thinking, like, what can we do for our core information worker audience? You know, these office guys who also may want to have data sets that they mix and match and publish up to the marketplace. So Roswell is a project they're doing to enable the information workers to do this. Mm. And it's going to be, right now, I don't know how far along this is. It's just kind of an early code name as far as I can tell. But it's part of this whole big push that you're going to hear from Microsoft next year about data, you know, the new world of data, big data. And they're going to try to bring it down so that it's not just scientists publishing these data sets into the marketplace, but also everyday information workers. And that's what Roswell is all about.
That's what we are.
Yes.
So two comments to this. That's the type of thing Microsoft does really well, right? Take technology that previously was the purview of the select few in the lab coats and bring it down to the masses, like Moses with the tablets or whatever. And then that's kind of closer to a weather balloon than alien technology, I would say.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah, you know, and because it's Microsoft, you know, Roswell, it's a city name in this case, probably not about UFOs, but we don't know, is it Roswell, Georgia or Roswell, New Mexico that this is named after?
And of course, it was Roswell, New Mexico where the aliens were, so.
Yes. Paul wants it to be New Mexico.
We don't have enough New Mexico-based Microsoft code names.
I think it's Georgia. I hate to
There's so
you.
Many great location names in New Mexico. Like truth
there
or
are
consequences.
Truth or consequences.
Love that.
Yep.
You lived in New Mexico. That's how you know all this.
I did, yes.
Yeah. So a wheelhouse, my friends. A wheelhouse is, according to the Wikipedia, the location of the steering wheel of a boat or ship, as in bridge or pilot house, the covering or housing of a paddle wheel in a paddle wheel steamer.
But I think I see what you're talking about.
A turntable-like device which allows wagons to switch rails. In architecture, it's a prehistoric structure from the Iron Age found in Scotland, or the portion of a building in a water mill that contains the water wheel or gears to power the millstone. But I think you can see right here, it's an English language idiom derived from the baseball jargon, meaning area of knowledge. The sweet spot of the baseball player's strike zone. You're reading along with me, aren't you? Go ahead, Paul. Let's just do this together. The sweet spot of a baseball player's strike zone, wherein the most power and strength can be utilized. It is outside my wheelhouse.
I like it.
And Leo, just so you know, we've got on Twitter, Hyper-V Fan Club, woohoo, Pee-wee's secret word.
It's Hyper-V!
somewhere a bunch of people are drinking because of you.
Ladies, I kidded about Hyper-V. No, we have some Hyper-V fans on Windows Weekly.
No, my friends. Mary Jo Foley writes about this stuff and does it with gusto, verve, and vigor unseen heretofore in the enterprise community. That's why she has a website called allaboutmicrosoft.com where you can read this day in, day out. Much discussion of hypervisor and other Azure-like technologies.
I might say Hyper-V is in my wheelhouse.
It is. Well, is it in your wheelhouse? Well within her wheelhouse, baby. Paul Thurrott is all wheelhouse. He is the guy at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com, and his books, the Secret Series, include the newest Windows Phone Secrets covering Microsoft's Windows Phone 7. I will not be here next week. Iaz will be back, much to your relief. But
is that because why are you not here next week?
I'm taking my holiday early. We're going to Stockbridge, Massachusetts, as I mentioned.
Okay, I thought that was after Christmas.
It was going to be, but then it turned out Henry, my son, wants to go on a school trip to Park City, Utah, where thousands of teenagers will descend on a hotel and terrorize.
I'm so glad I'm not going there.
The inhabitants with minimal adult supervision. So he likes that.
It's weird.
Yeah. So we're coming. Believe it or not, we actually changed our plans, and we're coming back so he could do that.
Well, that's nice. I would never do that for my kid, but congratulations.
Oh, you will. You're not teenagers yet. You will. It's called El Nino, and I don't know why they call it that, but that's what they call it. It's because when the children return to Capistrano.
El Nino. It's like a Michael Crichton novel.
Yeah. El Nino. In Park City, they go, oh, my God, it's El Nino. Anyway, so I won't be here. Iaz does a great job, though, with the show, and he will be back. And I'll be back for our special holiday edition, which is the week after Christmas. We record this show every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, which is 1900 UTC at twit.tv. So it'll be Thursday the 29th that we'll do a look back, and maybe we'll get a little look forward, too. Depending on how much.
Yes. Codename Bingo.
Codename Bingo. We could do that. I could draw a little.
Bingo.
What we could do is for every show we do, we'll make a little grid. I'll put it up on the website as a PDF. You can download and play along. Now, of course, remember, folks, drink responsibly. But do drink. So the idea, unless you're underage, in which case don't drink. So the idea is you'd have the grid, and we'd have like Hyper-V, Azure, Connectimals.
Connectimals.
Roswell,
Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer. You know, we'd have, you know, all the things. And then you could have little chits that you put on there. And then if you get a straight line in any direction, you could just jump up and down and celebrate. How about that?
This has got to be a version that has more alcohol involved than that, but we'll see what we can do.
We'll save that for the holidays. I'll be drinking root beer. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you all for being here. And we'll see you next week on Windows Weekly. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Houston, we have a problem.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
Note to Leo. Hello, Chief Twit. Just a happy holidays to you and the crew. Thanks for a wonderfully fun and techie year. Looking forward to many more. I know this isn't exactly the Laporte tartan, but it's pretty close. That is so sweet. Thank you, Becky, in Montgomery Village. Actually, the real gift is these, is this stamp collection here. Wow!
I'm going to reboot this thing.
Oh, you do this in OneNote. Why didn't I know that?
We've only been doing it this way for 3 months.
I thought you just edited a text file.
You know, my cats have a longer span of attention.
No, you're right. They do. They can stare at a mouse for an hour. No, I think once you've driven in snow, it's like riding a bicycle. It comes right back to you. You steer into the skid. Once you hit the black ice, you go, ah! That's all you have to know, I think.
Staring into the skid is the most unnatural act a human being can do, which is why it never happens.
Yeah, but no, it's, I've internalized that. I don't know why. I guess I skid a lot. I'll never forget driving to school when I was a kid and it was snowed. And my dad putting, you know, driving down the road and it was snow everywhere. It hadn't been plowed, I guess. And he put on the brakes and we didn't stop. And we went all the way down the hill. It was really scary. And the car starts to kind of turn and...
After we had lived in Arizona for a few years, we were up in Colorado and I rented a car and it was snowing and I drove by a parking lot and I said to my wife, let's go in there and we'll do donuts in the parking lot. And we did. And the car had anti-lock brakes, so you would just jam the brakes on it would just stop. And it was the most disappointing episode ever.
Yeah. I want to lock the wheels. Yeah, you're right. Anti-lock brakes probably take all the fun out of snow days.
Well, if you have a handbrake, you can do it that way, but this car obviously had like the foot brake type thing, and it was just not the same.
Oh, so if you have anti-lock brakes, the handbrake,
you can just forget. You just forget the, just take your feet off the brakes altogether and use that middle brake. That will do it nicely. Yeah,
that'll get you spinning. Good, I'll remember that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to call Avis and say, hey, do you have a car without ABS? Because
I'm telling you this story. The last time I rented a car in Colorado, actually, I drove to work from the hotel. Turning only using the middle brake. So every time I came to an intersection, I would yank up the brakes, skid through the intersection.
Why? Yeah. Why?
Because it was fun. Because I can handle it.
Because you're a man. And you know.
I am a professional.
You know, trained professional on a closed course. You know, turn into the skid. So, and maybe I should refresh myself. So yes. The car, I'm driving along, the back wheel starts to come out this way. I'm fishtail this way. So I should turn the direction the tail's going, right? So instead of going that way, which would just spin me around, I go this way to correct.
Intellectually, I can tell you that is the right thing to do. But I can tell you that in real life, I don't think I've ever done that. Because it just doesn't seem like the right thing to do at the time.
Right. But, well, it does, yeah.
To me.
It's a hard lesson to learn, let's put it that way.
I prefer to be in that kind of a turn on purpose. At least then you're, you know, you're guiding the vehicle.